Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, and in particular, new members of the faculty and staff who are being installed this evening, and new and returning students at Concordia Seminary. When the recently concluded convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod adopted as its theme, God Opens Doors, it was calling attention to the fact that this is a time of unparalleled opportunity for us in the church to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. In adopting that same theme for this evening's service and for our entire school year, which we begin this evening, we at Concordia Seminary are emphasizing the same thing, namely that God has set before us at Concordia Seminary a time of unparalleled opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. God opens doors. It's a wonderful way for a new student to focus his career as a ministerial student at this place. God opens doors is a theme that can well be impressed upon the hearts of all of you who sit before me about to be installed or inducted as new faculty and staff members of this institution. For God has opened doors for you as you serve the Lord in this place. As we meditate together then on this great theme that is ours this evening and for this year, let us be guided together by the word of God given to us through his holy apostle, St. Paul, written in the epistle to the Colossians in chapter 4 in verse 3. Let us read it together. Pray for us also, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. These words are rich in meaning, but let us take from these words of the apostle one of the few places in the New Testament where he uses the open door imagery. Let us take from it three major thoughts for our reflection this evening. One is that in the church, we don't open the doors, God does. The second is that the reason God opens doors is not for us to serve ourselves, but to make known the mystery of Jesus Christ. And third, that the reason God opens doors to us for the mystery of Christ is so we can share it with others. God opens doors, we don't. And you notice in the context in the epistle to the Colossians, this is laid upon us as a prayer. It's something we ask for because we cannot assume that God will open doors, and we certainly know as Christians that we can't open them ourselves. When you think of various facts of our life together in the church, how true this assertion becomes, and yet how all-important and all-embracing it is for us. We don't open doors in the church, God does. When you think back upon the history of mankind, it's very, very clear. First of all, when we look at the redemptive work of God himself, that man couldn't open the door to heaven that he had closed by his sin. God sent his Son into the world to reconcile the world to himself, and through him broke down the walls of partitions and that separated man from God. God opened the door to heaven. Man did not. Man cannot. And when we say man, we mean you, and we mean me, and we mean all of us. We are impotent, blind, dead, in trespasses and sins. We don't open the doors to heaven, God does. And then when we think about the redemptive work which God has accomplished in Christ, and how it reaches us in our hearts and lives, it's true again that we cannot lay hold on what God has done for us in Christ by our own reason and strength, as we confess in Luther's third article of the Creed. But God must give His Holy Spirit through the means of grace, through word and sacrament, to break down the wall of our heart and to open the doors of our heart, to let in the good news of God in Jesus Christ, and to implant there the life of faith and hope and trust in Jesus Christ. How well the Apostle Paul knew this as he wrote to the Colossians. Think of Paul's own career. Think how closed the door of his heart had become as he persecuted the church of God. And how through that very dramatic experience on the road to Damascus, God opened the door of his heart by calling him through his word. God opens doors, the doors of our heart. We don't. And then in the third sense, as we look at the many opportunities for growth and for change and for bringing the good news to others, it's always important to remember the same truth, that growth and discipleship, becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, is not something we accomplish. God opens the doors of his grace and good news, the doors of his love and forgiveness to others. We don't. We merely are his servants in opening that door. This little thought, that it is God who opens doors and not we ourselves in the church, is a reminder that all pride and self-righteousness, all thought that it is somehow we who are behind this grand operation, all such thoughts must vanish as we, in the life of prayer, continuing steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving, we pray, we ask God to continue that grace and power and wisdom that have been his gift from time immemorial, and to continue to open the doors that you and I cannot. But there's a second point in this grand message that God opens doors, and it's the reason for it. Why does God do this? And why does God continue to lay before this seminary and this church these fantastic opportunities? Why is it that it is important for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, just as it is for Concordia Seminary as an institution? Why is it that it is important for new professors and staff and old professors and staff, new students, veteran students, for all of us to remember that this is a time of opportunity and challenge to go out to all the world with the good news? Because, brothers and sisters, it isn't axiomatic or self-understood that people are going to focus on life in the church as an opportunity. You think of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as it prepared for a convention and as it tried to lay on the hearts of all of us a theme idea for these years of activity and work in the kingdom of our Lord. There could have been other focuses that would have been very important and very helpful. We could focus on growth. We could focus on healing, on stewardship, on the many activities individually that we carry out as a synod or a seminary. It does not need to focus on opportunity. There are other things, I suppose, that we could emphasize more this evening and throughout the year, and as we begin new phases of our careers. We could talk about the importance of knowledge. We could talk about the need that we all have to work hard at making our life together in this community something that is God-pleasing and mutually enjoyable and profitable. We could talk about the goals we all have for ourselves as persons in terms of professional development, growth and maturity in skills and knowledge. All of such things are important. But we're talking this evening, we're laying on the hearts of this seminary and its community, just as the Synod has laid it upon the hearts of all 3 million people who comprise this great organization, that this is a time for opportunity. Doors are opening, and we must be aware of this in order to grasp the opportunities to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice those words of the text. Paul makes it very clear to the Colossians what kind of a door-opening operation he was asking God to perform. Pray for us also, not just for me, but for us, that God may open to us a door for the Word. And he does not leave us in doubt as to which word he has in mind. To declare the mystery of Christ is Paul's great focus. God has given this church, just as he gave the Colossians, God has given this seminary that same kind of focusing of its opportunity. God opens the doors also at this place for the Word, to declare the mystery of Christ. This term, mystery, is one that the Apostle Paul uses frequently, especially in the Epistle to the Colossians, but also in other places of his writing. You might remember, for example, the words earlier in the Epistle to the Colossians, where the Apostle has discussed the wonderful work that God has done in reconciling us to himself in Jesus Christ. And then he discusses the office which he has as an apostle, to make the Word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There are many such passages that would be interesting for all of us to study at some time when we had the opportunity to do so. Because when the Apostle Paul speaks about the mystery, to declare the mystery of Christ, he has reference to the whole redemptive plan of God, which he sees as a design of God that is hidden in the counsels of God until it is fully revealed to man in and through Jesus Christ. And all of us who have Christ, who know him as our Lord and Savior, are, in Paul's language, sharers of this mystery. And our task becomes the sharing of that mystery with those who don't have it, to make it known, to make it clear, to make it manifest. These are words that the Apostle uses of our task. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we realize that the door that God opens for us at this place is a door not for our own selves, but a door for the Word of the cross, a door that opens for us to proclaim the mystery of Jesus Christ. What an important focus this is for those of us who teach and for those who administer, that all of our functions, whether we teach in exegesis or in homiletics, or whether we administer a program in the business affairs of the institution, or help to raise money by which the institution grows, or engage in the historical department or the systematic department, or lead this community as it grows in its appreciation of music and worshiping God, all of the many activities represented by those of you being installed, and those who sit behind, and the board of control, and the students of this seminary. What an important thing it is for all of us to realize that the focus of our calling at this place is to make the Word of God fully known, to declare the mystery of Jesus Christ. No duty, no activity, no matter how filled with drudgery it may appear, can ever be truly boring and unimportant if we can learn that it somehow serves this great mystery of Christ, this redemptive plan which God has had from all eternity, and which even now he calls you and me to declare, to make known, and to share with all the world. A third point that Paul would lay upon us with this text is the fact that this mystery of Christ, which we proclaim as God opens door after door for us, has as its focus the sharing of the ministry and the mystery of Christ with others. You know, there are always some who like mysteries, whether in the ancient world or in this one, like mysteries because it's so much fun to possess something that no one else has, to know something that no one else knows. And in that sense, Paul is really saying that we Christians who call Christ Lord by the power of the Spirit in our hearts
possess that mystery. We know that plan of God conceived in eternity and carried out on the cross and in the empty tomb. But he's also saying we are not called merely as people who share this inner secret, called to possess it, called to sit on it, to contemplate it, to unravel it. Although I must confess that as the years wear on at the seminary, I suppose most students at some point in their career will think that's exactly what we're doing in the classroom, dwelling on it, taking it apart, putting it back together, looking at it from all angles, looking at the history of the mystery, looking at the proclaiming of the mystery, at those who deny it or change it or twist it or gnarl it. But the fact remains that the focus is on sharing it with others. Those words at the end of the text aren't that clear, perhaps, in the English, where Paul says, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. But what he's really saying in the original language is that he must speak it. He doesn't have any choice. God has called Paul, opened the doors of his own heart, opened the doors to heaven, but now called him to proclaim this great mystery to the doors that God was opening throughout the world. And he had to speak it. He had to make it clear, as he says, to make it manifest, to tell people about this great mystery that God has conceived in his heart of hearts and consummated in the life and death and resurrection of our Lord. And so it is. The mystery is to be proclaimed. It is to be made clear. It is something we ought to speak and ought to proclaim because God has grasped our hearts and laid this power and this challenge upon them. This was Paul's own experience. You notice how in the text he reminds his readers ever so gently, on account of which I am also in prison. When you follow this leading of God through the open doors with the good news to all the world, anything can happen. Paul was in chains. We may suffer hardships and heartaches, and things may be disappointing from time to time, whether we're professors or students or faculty members of this institution or Christians in any walk of life. But what a wonderful thing it is to recognize that God has given this marvelous opportunity to us to bring the good news to others. Think of the challenges of this day opening up all over the world. Think of the thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, who don't have the faintest clue to this great mystery of God in Jesus Christ, which you and I are called to proclaim and share. And what a wonderful opportunity we have. The Synod and Convention felt something of that call as they passed a remarkable series of resolutions, as they heard about and responded to the call of God to go through the open doors he was setting before them for the gospel. Listen to these challenges from the synodical action. During the 1980s, 10 overseas mission fields to be added to the fields already being served, 600 new missionaries serving partner churches, mission fields, new outreach areas, 1,800 new North American parishes, including 100 serving blacks, 50 serving Hispanics, 20 Native Americans, 20 Asian Americans, a 50% increase in membership in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, new ministries on 20 additional campuses, and 20 additional areas opening up to the deaf, the beginning of literacy and Bible translation work in 10 additional languages, gearing up the synodical school to develop all-pervasive mission vision and outreach, recruiting and training 100 Hispanics, 150 blacks, 50 Native Americans, 20 Asian Americans, 50 workers for deaf ministry, including 20 who are deaf, 1,500 mission committees for increased communication and interpretation of the mission program of the church, a 100% increase plus inflation in the mission budget of the Synod, colleges and seminaries training more future workers, expansion of efforts in world relief, housing for the elderly, helping the homeless boat people of Asia, and many, many other resolutions. Well, of course, it's easy to pass resolutions, but a resolution like this is something that is actually the earnest reflection of what this great church body of ours not only can do, but must do, if we are to see the open doors that God has laid before us. It doesn't take a prophet or a visionary to understand that you who sit in this room this evening have a very heavy burden of responsibility upon you in terms of helping this great church body reach those goals. God's open door is for others. It's not only for you and me, but it is for these hundreds of congregations, these workers. When you think of the great opportunities that are before us as a seminary to lead, for you to serve yourselves and for others to be recruited for this great work through you. You think of some of the really remarkable opportunities before us this evening. The first professor for deaf ministry in the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Probably the only professorship, Dan Picorni, in the whole seminary aspect of our North American continent. What a fantastic opportunity we have here in that ministry. We look at the connections the seminary has with friends all over the world in our partner churches, and the wonderful opportunities we have with our beautiful and remarkable facilities, a library that is second, I would like to say, only to a few others, but certainly one of the top 10 or 12 theological libraries in the country, a faculty that is dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, who honors his holy word, works hard, is dedicated to the task of teaching and helping all of us to grow in the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was 5 years ago that we began a new phase of the history of this institution. Those of you who were here will remember that we rejoiced that night because that chapel, only about half as filled as it is tonight, heard the good news that 193 students had enrolled after the most disastrous events in the history of this institution. Think of it, though. It's now 5 years later, and I am told by a late report from the registration people that our enrollment tonight stands at over 650 students. It has more than tripled in 3 years. Isn't that remarkable? And do you remember what our text was for our year under the Lord in 1974 and 5, that evening in our worship service? It was from the book of Revelation, and it was read to you a moment ago, Revelation 3:8. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no man can shut. Brothers and sisters, how remarkably God has fulfilled that promise to us and to our church, not only in our personal lives by opening the door of his grace and goodness to us in Jesus Christ after we had closed the door of our hearts to him, but also to us in this institution and in this church. But that door remains open, and the challenges today are to get out with the good news of God in Jesus Christ. So, brothers and sisters, know that his promise is true and that it will be carried out. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, pray for us also, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear as I ought to speak. God opens doors. Let us join arms and hearts and march right through. In Jesus' name, amen.